All right. How many of you have a favorite Christmas movie? Right? Yeah, all right. How many of you can quote lines from your favorite Christmas movie and often do that, especially like at family gatherings, right? You start throwing those out. I was on Facebook and I have a brother who had put a rather large tree in his house for Christmas, and it was up at the ceiling and kind of, you know, bending over, and I couldn't resist. You know, I'm like, oh, she's a beaut. I won't throw the name out there. Anyways, but there we go. Yep. So it is that season of the year once again. We are, I just still trying to wrap my head around the fact that we have come through Thanksgiving and we are rolling into Christmas. It is just, it's mind-blowing, right? Absolutely mind-blowing. Christmas is one of my favorite times of year. It's also kind of a crazy time because it feels like it's a bag of mixed emotions, right? Because when we look around, it's all about smiles and laughter and seeing the uplifting songs. And yet the other part of the reality is that most all of us walk into this season knowing that there is at least one person whom we wish was going to be with us, and we know they're not. And we understand that's part of life, but it doesn't make it any easier. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this same thing is for me, just like it is for you. It just feels weird that I can be happy about Christmas, and yet I can also be sorrowful because I wish that one of my family members, or more, was going to be here, but they're not. And so I am a firm proponent for, and I'll say this, for those of you that are guests with us today, and we're so glad that you're here and online guests with us, one thing you'll know about me is I am not one that likes to sort of step out of how we feel and what life is sort of throwing at us when it comes to our faith, that in fact, through our faith, God meets us where we're at and what we're going through. So it's good for us to step into the reality of where we are and say, God, would you help me where I am today? Because it's where I am, whether I want to be there or not. It's my life. And God, help me where I'm at in my life. And so that's where we are, right? So we all know, with this common ground for everybody on site, online, we all know the feeling of grief, losing out on something we wish we had. Maybe it was an ugly Christmas sweater you're going to miss seeing somebody wear, or it was the corny joke that they always told every Christmas season. Maybe it was the recipe that they made, and you go, I think when they gave me that recipe, they left something off the card because I can never get it to turn out like he or she did, right? And if you ask them, like, oh, no, it's just love. It's like, yeah, right. Doesn't quite come out the same. There's something there that it's just not going to be. And maybe it's just an empty chair or somebody sitting in the recliner around the Christmas tree. I don't know, but you do. And I want to start with saying, yes, that's where we find ourselves. And I want to point us to God, because God was not afraid or had any issues with grief being a part of his story. God knows that he is stronger than grief. I think of Genesis chapter 3, God has to send Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden because of sin. And I have to believe that did, and I know it did, it pained the heart of God to have to be separated from those that he created to be with him and commune with him and to know him personally and intimately, and have to send them out and to be separated from them is just tremendous. Talk about grieving, right? To think of Job, for example. If anybody knows the story of Job, Job's kids, whoom, like a foul swoop, as they say, right? His kids were dead, and he mourns the death of his children. That is a horrible experience, I can only imagine, to have to go through. We can think of so many others. David, King David, whose sons died, and he mourns the death of his sons, and he writes that in the book of Psalms. We can go further in the story, and we can, why not just go straight to Jesus? Jesus, if you remember the story where he comes in to Israel as they're into the passion, And he looks out over the city of Jerusalem, and his heart is broken for them. He grieves their loss because they had opportunity to believe and accept him for being the Messiah that had come from heaven to earth. And he wept. You think of Lazarus' family. Lazarus died, and they're going, you know, they're grieving heavily. And Jesus comes, and when he's there, he sees their grief. And when he does, he even cries with them. He grieves over them. He knows what he can do, right? You're with me. Like, he gets it. He knows he can raise Lazarus from the dead, but his heart is broken over those who are grieving. Like, Jesus gets the emotion of grieving. If Jesus gets it, God gets it. We don't have to run from it. We can step into it with God because he knows what it is to feel grief. I hope that's comforting this morning. And God is so good that he gives us a gift to help us in our grief. And one of those gifts, it's more than one, but the one I want to talk about today, and actually going to talk about for the season of Advent, is prayer. How many of you, if you're online with us today, feel free to put in the comments as well, you know, have prayed for something for a season when you were hurting, you were suffering somehow, and you just felt that, you know, it didn't completely go away, but I felt like God touched my heart. I felt like God gave me a sense of peace that I didn't have before I continued to keep praying for this, that God met me in my prayer. Like, how do you do that? I don't know. I don't know how he does that kind of stuff. It's a mystery of his grace, but he does it. And it's phenomenal, and I love it because I've been on the receiving end of it. It's fantastic. I wouldn't be where I am today if God didn't meet us in prayer and minister healing and comfort to us. So he gives us that gift, and today I want to encourage us to, here I'll say it again, step into that gift, lean into that gift. In a season of life where I know, because I've been there, that when you're hurting and you're sad, that stopping to pray may not be the first thing that you think to do. It may not be the first response. For some, it may very well be. My guess is that for some other people, it's not. Because when we hurt, we tend to do what? We tend to turn inward. And we tend to shut down. We tend to close off. When the very thing that God is inviting us to do is to open ourselves up, stand up before him, or kneel, or sit. It doesn't matter, right? It's not about the physical posture. It's about the posture of your heart. That in that hurting, that you would step into that relationship with God when it's maybe the last thing you feel like you really want to do, but he's inviting you to step into it. So why might we pray then if it may not feel like that's the thing we want to do? And I want to give you just two quick. Some of you are going to be excited because I'm teaching for shorter than I normally do today. So okay, all right, I thought I would get a bigger laugh out of that. And like, woo! Like, okay. So why pray in our grief? I apologize for the little smaller text. So I'm gonna read this to you. If you like to take notes, during a message, and this will be a perfect time for you to do that, because I'm gonna offer you some chapters and verses in scripture that you can use on your own in your own personal time, because I'm guessing there's probably gonna be moments when during this holiday season, that grief is going to surface. And it may surface out of nowhere, but I want to provide you with some scriptures that you can go to that can be helpful as we think about the idea that it is actually healthy for us to pray in our grief. So why? Well, I want to start with saying, I'm just going to give you two. It's so simple, right? But one, that God promises comfort in our grief. Now, if you're familiar with the book of the prophet Isaiah, then in that chapter 61, there's a text there that talks of the Messiah to be one who comes for a variety of purposes, roles, okay? Now, You read in Isaiah 61. Now, if you were to go read in Luke chapter 4 in the Gospel of Luke, you would find the story of when Jesus walks into a synagogue and he's there with the folks and they're teaching, and he gets the scroll of the prophet Isaiah and he opens it up and he intentionally goes to Isaiah chapter 61. Well, it wasn't the chapter back then, right? But he goes to that place, it says, and he reads where it talks about the one who will come. And one of the roles of the one who will come is to comfort those who mourn. And he tells them, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And on top of that, when Jesus preaches during the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, I think it's in verse 4, but you know, you remember, blessed are, right? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus knows that he is the answer to our comfort. He is the answer to our sorrow. He is our comfort. Let me word it that way. That's a little bit better. He is the answer to our sorrow. And he knows that. Now, if you are a on the surface only kind of person, and you know some of the story of the gospel, you might be tempted to think that, well, Jesus was there, and if he's talking about himself, well, he died and he went to heaven. So what kind of help you got for me today? Because I hadn't looked around and seen Jesus at Starbucks or at Donut Bank or any other restaurant around. You know, it's like, so what do you got for me? And I want to tell you, Jesus knew that we needed help ongoing. So in John chapter 14, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And he says the Holy Spirit is going to come and be the great comforter. He's going to be an advocate. He's going to be an encourager. He's going to be a comforter. He's going to be the persona of complete wisdom. That one who will speak to you, not of his own accord, but what he hears from the Father, he's going to speak that to you. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knows what you need to hear when you are broken and hurting. Because the Holy Spirit knows what you need to hear when you may be veering off a path of righteousness. And you need to be reminded that this is not the path that Jesus saved you to walk. He saved you to walk a path that is right before God. It honors the Lord, that is good and righteous and holy. That's what he saved you for. And hey, that's kind of not the direction you're going. You need to come back over here. That still, soft, gentle, nudging voice. You know, as parents, we might be doing this with our kids and not even realize that what we're teaching our children about God. For those of you that are parents here or even grandparents here, regardless of how old your child is or was, do you ever remember the time I've done this with my kids? It can be a powerful moment. When you want them to know something important about a moment, and it may just be the simplicity of your love for them. Or maybe it's even with a spouse. And in the simplicity of that moment, you just whisper to them what you want them to know. It could be as simple as an I love you. It could be, you better stop and sit down, because if you don't, I don't know, right? But the power of a gentle whisper. I love that idea in prayer, because so much of prayer is really just resting in that still small voice of God who loves you, listening for that voice to encourage and build up and redirect to all the things that he does, to just stop. And maybe for a moment just to I'm listening, Lord. Speak, for your servant is listening. God has promised comfort in our grief, and he speaks his comfort to us He grants us peace. So let me give you another one. Fill the second one up there if you would for us this morning. God touches our lives with his grace through prayer. Have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and you just felt like it was falling on deaf ears because nothing was happening? I'm asking, I'm doing what the Bible says, be diligent in prayer, and I keep getting, I'm going, but God, did you not turn your hearing aid on today? Like what's up? Because I'm still broken, and you're supposed to comfort those who mourn. You're supposed to heal the broken, right? It's why you came. It's what you can do. Yeah, I can testify to that. But I want to tell you, prayer is not about a short game. Prayer is very much, I think, about a long game. And the long game is that God promises to comfort us, but to touch our lives with his grace through prayer over the long haul. And you say, why the long haul? Like, why not just come on, like right here and right now? Because I've been the good little Christian. Like, come on now. Well, I want you to understand something, that God is working towards the end. God's story is moving towards the end. The whole trajectory of that story is about what's going to happen at the very end when Christ returns. And when he returns, and as Revelation talks about a new heaven, a new earth, and however that plays out, I'm not getting into any of that today, but the promise is of what is to come, the joy that he will give for sorrow. The trajectory of our life in the kingdom of God is not about, I do this, God must do this. I do this, therefore God must do this. If he's a just God, he's an honorable God. If I do this, then he has to do this. It's not built in what he's going to do necessarily today based on what you feel he needs to do for you, but what he is working towards at the very end, which is the perfection of all things, the consummation, the end. It's the joy for the sorrow. It's the full healing for brokenness. It's restoring that, of course, which is broken and been marred. King David was very much aware that the trajectory of his life to get to where it was, everything that it could potentially be with all of his goodness, was not of his own leadership. It was not of his own skills. It was not of his own wisdom. It was in God's hands, right? So when he praises and he prays, he lays his brokenness. If you ever read the lament psalms, you ever read those? It's like, those are depressing. But then you get to the end and you go, ooh, that's uplifting. Because every time he knows that the trajectory of his healing is not necessarily quite in the moment of when he thinks it has to come, but in the fullness of what the Lord will do in him and for him over time. Because whether or not God does anything to heal and fix the moment right that you sit in, it doesn't change the fact of what God is working towards and what God can do, and the fact that you pray and you worship a good God who loves you. That's what it's all about. God says, I got you. I got you. I've been in a room this size, the number of people we have here on site and online, I would imagine there's probably maybe more than one time a week that stress or anxiety creeps in. School, work, family stuff, finances, there's a fun one. Relatives, that can be another fun one at times. But it wants to kind of creep in. That's kind of life. in those moments, God says, I want to invite you. Would you chat with me? So if you will throw this up here, and some of you are going to go, who taught that person how to spell? Because they have got one too many T's on that word. A little chat with God. Watch how simple this really is. I just offer this as a thought. So you'll notice, give me the first one. These are just so super quick. If we think about, so you'll notice this is an acronym. That's why there's more than one T. When that little chat that you have with God, I want to invite you to consider this. Praying with courage. Courageously present your request unto the Lord. Have courage when you pray, especially when you hurt. Pray courageously. Give me the next one. And pray with hope, believing in what is yet to come, even if you don't know the when, the where, and the how, from where you stand today. Pray with hope in what the Lord will do one day, because in that time, regardless of whether my stuff gets fixed, I know it will at that day, and I'm holding out hope for that day, because God will do far better on that day than ever is going to happen that I can be able to fix or somebody else fix in my life today. I'm holding on to hope of what the Lord will do finally at the end. I'm praying with that. But I'm also going to ask the Lord and say, Lord, would you have mercy on me and help me? Because I am struggling. I'm on the struggle bus, as they say, right? This is hard. And give me the next T, which is simply, when we pray, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 and 5, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, you know. Pray trusting in the Lord. He doesn't have to do it your way, but he will do it his way, and his way is far better than the world's way. And I think that's where the prayer part then is so powerful, because when we sit and just exhale and trust the Lord, there's that sense of peace that rises up within us. The Lord affirms in us, I got you. Let me hold you. Let me care for you. Let me lead you. Let me help you. You don't have to do it all by yourself. I'm with you, okay? And then don't forget, thank him. Thank him, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, right? Be thankful. Thank the Lord in all things. So I don't like this moment. That's okay. But the Lord's with you in the moment. So thank the Lord that he's with you in the moment. Thankfulness is not about the moment you're in as the goodness of the God that's with you in the moment that you are in, right? Like, we know this, but sometimes our emotions get a little when we're in crazy moments. And when you get stressed and you get anxious and you're afraid, like I said before, what tends to happen? We tend to close in, sink inward, shut out the very things that are good to help us. And that's what God's like, no, I want you to do the opposite of that, right? I want you to pray with courage. I want you to hold on to everlasting hope. I want you to ask for mercy and help. I want you to trust that I've got you. And I want you to just be thankful every day, knowing that when you walk by faith and not by sight, you're walking in the will of God. Stay walking in that direction. Okay? So I like it. Just a little thought on, like, well, how might I pray if I'm at? I just think a little chat with God, a little fireside chat kind of thing would be wonderful.